Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, Branham out on vacation this week and a little bit of next, but we got BMAC in. We don't have Monday or Tuesday now, so we got BMAC in all the way through Thursday, and then
I believe Barry's in with you Friday.
Barry's in Friday.
I'll be in the studio.
And you'll be here as well. Yep. And then next week, Barry will have a couple days, you'll have a couple days, and then we'll get through it till Jeremy comes back. So in the meantime, we got Austin Rodriguez filling in, as he always does. Boston, as Jeremy likes to call him when he's part of the Bees. And we've been continuing to talk about the Astros. Look, you know, when we get through and look back at this season, I think that it's easy to say, you know, what Altuve did. It's easy to say Yordan. It's easy to say some of the guys that are the usual suspects, so to speak. But when you look at it from a different perspective and you think about it, doesn't matter who the unsung guys are. When you think about all the contributions, look, Jake Meyers is just like a Blanco, only in a different way. But we didn't know what Jake Meyers was going to be. And we didn't know where he was going to be. And we didn't know what the way Chaz plays last year in the playoffs. We didn't know a lot of things. We didn't know that Jake was going to end up being not only your starting center fielder because the general manager wanted him to be, but that he was going to play every day. We didn't know that Chaz was going to crap the bed and not be nearly the player that he was the year before. So the fact is that everybody that seems, whether they were factored in as a big factor to start the year or not, this whole season so far has been predicated on the guys that weren't counted on doing more things than you ever could have counted on at the start of the season.
Yeah, and adding a few names to that, Taylor Scott. Taylor with an E in the bullpen. I mean, I don't think anyone knew what no one knew what he was going to be when the Astros added him to the bullpen. Obviously, credit to Dana Brown. When Dana Brown is allowed to do general manager things like identify Ronel Blanco as someone that needs to be stretched out or get Taylor Scott in the organization, it's turned out pretty well. And he's been... I believe he's top four in ERA for relievers with relievers who have pitched a certain amount of innings. I don't remember the exact stat in front of me, but yeah, he's certainly been fantastic. And then another name that we didn't mention there, and obviously his numbers have tailed off a little bit, but where would you be without Joey Loperfido? He had that circus catch a few days ago last week. He's had some big hits. He was hitting over 300 during his first stint, hitting over 300 for a decent amount of a second stint here with the team. Batting average now falling off, in which you expect from a rookie, especially one that we kind of gave the Joey Gallo comparison to when he first came up. So I don't really expect the batting average to be something that would stay tied anyway, so I'm not overly disappointed by it. But yeah, there's a lot of guys.
Just keep going. Seth Martinez next.
Seth Martinez, right?
We didn't think about Seth Martinez. Nope. Seth Martinez was a mop-up guy.
I mean, you knew he would be a part of the plan,
right?
But you didn't know he would be a lethal feature of the bullpen.
He was a mop-up guy
right.
for the most part
right.
last year, but he did his job. Right?
Sure.
He had the hiccup against Aaron Judge where he gave up a bomb, but otherwise he wasn't giving up runs. He was keeping you in games. He was keeping it where it was at. But now suddenly he's a key cog. When you go around and you start looking...
Jeremy Pena was hot at the beginning of the season.
Pena's another guy where we didn't know what he was going to get. He's changing his swing before the start of the year.
Right.
You know, he obviously underachieved based on the unrealistic expectations everybody had coming off World Series MVP and ALCS MVP, and that's who he's going to be his whole career. That wasn't realistic. But to say that he was going to take the jump to do the kind of things offensively he's doing this year while still providing you good defense was yet another feather in the cap. The fact that we didn't know what Yiner was going to be as a catcher. But how about Caratini? Until Caratini gets hurt, Caratini was going to be this version of Maldi, but he's not going to play. Just every fifth day he might fill in every now and then. And then when we had all the struggles and everything was trying to be figured out with Yiner, here comes Caratini, big hits, game winners, doing everything he's and playing
more
often.
He's had multiple walk-offs, right?
Because of the walk-offs, because of every time he was called on, he did his job. Because he could settle Fromber down when no one else could, you got a guy that you didn't expect at the start of the year was going to be as big a part as he was.
Now, I still don't believe there's anyone who could completely calm Fromber down at all times, but if Caratini truly is that guy, I don't even – he could hit below Maldi. I don't care. If he's able to keep Fromber in the proper headspace – that ability alone, that one trait alone is worth its weight in gold. I wouldn't even care what he did at the plate, but you're right. Caratini has been much better at the plate. I think, I don't know if we dismissed the signing, so to speak, but I definitely don't think we thought, like, okay, this is going to be a difference maker. And Caratini, with the walk-off, you know, he had a walk-off home run, I'm forgetting who it was against. Then he had another walk-off hit, you know, more recently. But certainly with those are two games right there that he's been not only someone that's been a good defensive option behind the plate, someone who's been a pretty decent stick behind the plate, but he's also been someone who's been a guy that, you know, has delivered you game-winning key, game-winning moments.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want you guys to answer this with me and Brian as we're going to get into this. But essentially, if you put a kind of the microcosm of the season leading up to the where we're at right now, tell me who was expected to perform well that has, and you have to factor everything in. So I think one of the obvious answers is going to be Kyle Tucker, but then the factor in, he's missed as many games as he has. Think about that. Who's overachieved and who's underachieved as to why this team is where it is right now? Because I think a lot of the guys you were counting on to be who they are have underachieved, whether it's their fault or not. And I think a lot of the guys that we didn't expect anything from, like guys we're talking about, were the guys that have saved your bacon and kept you in the season. So we'll have that to come back and talk about as much as a whole lot more. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, locking into hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. It's Brian McDonald and myself, Joel Blank, as B-Rod is behind the glass today as we makeshift another crazy day in the life of Gal Media. As we were on the air, it was like we were a politician. We were in the race, we were out of the race, and then we were back in the race.
And we call that flip-flopping.
And we flip-flop enough to get lucky enough to come back in. We got a call from the bullpen late by Joe after we got the signal straightened out, and we're back here.
Yeah, I was relaxing at Chipotle with Sean, enjoying a burrito, and all of a sudden Joe's like, hey, you got a show. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll head back.
Yeah, I'm driving around in the air conditioning of my car, keeping the dogs cool, going, yeah, I can drop the dogs off and head that way. And a loss, here we are. As a loss turns into a lass, we are here talking about the Astros, talking about another victory. And I kind of set this up before the break. Yes, Altuve has been one of the guys that I think when you could say what you expect is what you got. A lot of people thought, is he over the hill? Is he going to be able, he got the new contract, is he going to be able to maintain that? He's one of the guys where I don't, slight injury issue, but overall, I think he's one of the guys where you can pencil him in, or actually in pen and Sharpie say, he's one of the guys that lived up to what he was supposed to be the first half of the season.
Sure.
But when you start thinking about the slow start of Yordan, and the fact that, you know, you're always worried about and dealing with, is he injured? You know, is he, you know, I'm not going to use Jeremy's term for it, but is he less than tough sometimes, or he's going to miss some time, right? And he missed that series with family issues. He finally got hot, and you expect he's going to continue to do that, but he hasn't been steady Yordan. Tucker was on an all-star, you know, level campaign all season.
He was leading the league in home runs for a while.
He made the all-star team, but at the same time, I think that's kudos to him because he was leading the balloting and didn't, until he got hurt. But now he's missed significant time to where I'd say, not that he underachieved, but due to injury, he wasn't what you would expect him to be for you.
Sure, he didn't contribute to the team what you had penciled in for Kyle Tucker, which would have been the same if we were having this conversation last year for, you know, guys like Yordan Alvarez and Jose Altuve, who both missed significant time last year. Just unfortunately, I mean, well, fortunately, Altuve and Yordan, and they haven't been this over the course of their recent career, but have been Iron Man this year. And Kyle Tucker had been Iron Man, you know, in years past, but now it was his turn to hit the IL. And unfortunately, a ball off the shin has kept him out for, what, 3 weeks at this point?
Yeah. And so that's why when you start going around the horn and you start looking, Verlander was supposed to be your ace or your opening day starter. Started out that he wasn't available because he got a setback early on. Now with another discomfort issue with neck turning into he's playing catch again. You don't know when you're going to see him again. We mentioned he's not going to get to the vested innings.
There's no way.
To guarantee next year's contract, it looks like. You just don't know what you're going to get from the rest of the year. So you'd have to say that was underachieving. Javier, a guy who you locked up, is a guy that you're expecting to be one of your top three starters, be a guy that helps carry the load in your starting pitching staff, which was supposed to be deep, and he gets Tommy John surgery. He's done for the year, and there's another guy you were leaning heavy on. You're leaning on Chaz. You're thinking, Chaz, look, they could have gone out. They could have. They didn't. I understand they spent a lot of money on Hader. They could have gone out and gotten another bat for this lineup, but part of the reason why they did it was they're like, well, Chaz had a great year last year. There's no reason to believe that he's not going to continue to do that. He's underachieved. He underachieved early and got hurt. Since then, he has been less than, no matter what he did with two bombs in a game or, you know, an RBI here or a stolen base there. He's not nearly who you expected him to be.
No, and the problem is, and it goes back to their rough start of the season when they were 10 games under 500 multiple times, you can kind of pretty much look around most of the roster and see spots where guys were, you know, underperforming, whether it be for injury or whether it be slow start like Alex Bregman, or, you know, Josh Hader and Ryan Pressigoff, the slow starts have turned it around. That, I mean, you looked basically the entire team was that way. I mean, there was a point in the season when Yiner Diaz wasn't hitting, wasn't hitting at all with runners in scoring position. Obviously, Jose Abreu was a black hole that they eventually just had to cut out of the roster. Alex Bregman got off to his customary slow start, but it was even a deeper slow start than he was usually giving you. Chaz, as you mentioned, has been hurt and he hasn't played well at times. And then really only, two guys in their starting rotation have been above what you had hoped, and even one of those guys,
got off to another slow start,
right? But I mean, Ronel Blanco, obviously, much beyond expectation, and you could say Hunter Brown for the whole season has been over expectation. But even him, obviously, got off to a really rough start in April.
He's trying to get his ERA respectable because of the fact that he had a couple of starts.
Well, where
he
specifically Kansas City
game, yeah, for sure, but he had a couple where he threw up all over himself and got lots of earned runs. To where now, you know, it's a process to get it back. But he should have been pitcher of the month last month.
Should have been.
He's doing a lot of things now that we expected to see all along. But again, underachieved early in the year. That's why the theme of this team to me, that's why I brought it up, is it's more about the guys that you didn't expect anything from that have stepped up because of the fact that there's so many guys that you expected things from that basically didn't do as much, whether it be injury-related or other things, or being forced. Like, you mentioned Abreu. Look, whether he was force-fed or not, the way he finished the season last year, there was an expectation. This was just him settling into Houston. He's going to be fine.
I thought so. I know I was... I'll take the L on this one, but I was very much behind Abreu because when you looked at his stats, the finish of the regular season, when he came back from the 10-day IL stint, His slash numbers plus his, you know, 162 game pace numbers for his home runs and RBI were through the roof, and it continued into the playoffs. He was great in the Cleveland series. His numbers continued pretty well in the second series again against Texas. And so, I mean, I didn't think he was going to come on and be some form of his MVP self from, you know, the 2020 season. I wasn't expecting that. But I thought you could get, you know, a reasonable level of production. Maybe someone who hit 260, you know, had, you know, 15, 20 home runs. I was expecting something like that from Jose Abreu, and obviously he was way worse. But as much as this season has been about, you know, kind of who's underperformed and overperformed expectation, I think it's also just been the 10,000th case of this, but another lesson in patience for 162 game season, especially, yeah. And I'm going to use the term, I hate to use it, but, you know, shout out to the Astros, have used this term a lot. When you look at the back of the baseball card for some guys, specifically Alex Bregman, who we hammered for his slow start because it was so far beyond his normal slow start. But when you look at Alex Bregman, I pulled this stat before the show. Since May 9th, Alex Bregman sitting 291, great.
Yep.
848 OPS, great. And 162 game pace of 30 home runs and 99 RBI. Fantastic. I mean, that's more the season that he's been good than he was bad.
But don't you think,
and
Ryan,
it's just like we do this every year to ourselves, like, oh my God, Alex Bregman's slow start. Oh my God, whatever. But this is the same thing they do every year.
Reaction, because we had to deal with Abreu. Because we were told, former MVP, let him get settled in. We even had Michael Bourne on saying, hey, when a player changes cities like that, it's a massive adjustment. It takes time. Just like that, we factored in, it takes time with Abreu. We gave him all of last year and saw the glimpse, end of the season, into the playoffs, to where, okay, he's finally going to be who he is. So now when he doesn't turn out, and now you've got to pay him to walk away, and that's still on the people's minds, now they're looking at Bregman a different way, going, yeah, sure, slow start, right. We've heard that before. We've seen that. And then it didn't work out with Abreu. And then because it took longer than normally his slow starts take, then it was like, you know what? Here's another one. He's done. There's no way, regardless of whether he wants a new contract or not, he can't play anymore. So they get impatient. So they get more critical. So they put more blame on him. But it, like you said, here we are. He's not going to be the kind of guy that I said, you know, kind of maintained where the full season of what we expected from him. But at least he's gotten back. But the theme is more so the guys that have overachieved than even all those guys that have underachieved. Because when you look at the list of the guys that haven't, it's a long list. Because the guys we didn't mention were the lockdown 7, 8, 9 guys in the back of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Because this is why you got Josh Hader.
Right.
And yet,
Hader they sucked to begin the year.
He continues to give up home runs. He's still not being who you signed him to be. We know Presley had tons of struggles and people were ready to get rid of him. And then you look at Abreu. And again, last night, he gives up a run. He sets the table. He gets out of it a lot of times. But he hasn't been close to the guy he was in the playoffs last year when we thought he was a guy that could be your eventual closer. So those guys. And Montero. Montero, again, we're hoping because of the second half last year, when he started to figure things out, he's going to be fine. He hasn't been fine. He's been overpaid. He's a guy that fell out of favor so much that he couldn't get into any leverage situations. He's trying to work his way back, but he's now worked his way to fall back again. That's why you look at Taylor Scott. You look at the guys, even the guys we haven't talked about yet. Look at what King has done in a short sample time. King doing his job when he comes in relief. The guys, when they call their number, Lo Profeto, no one expected him to be a guy that could hit for average or power or do anything on the major league level right away. Jumps in, he does that. All these guys overachieving are the reason why this team is here, more so than the guys underachieving and the slow start that this team got on.
Yeah, and I think that gives you hope for what happens over the second half of the season because, like you said, I mean, and like we've talked about, Alex Bregman's slow start, the 7, 8, 9 guys all slow start, Verlander's hurt, Javier's hurt, Fromber had a stint on the IL. All these things kept happening, which if a team wasn't led by what we do now believe is a good manager and didn't have this championship pedigree and this medal behind them, I think could have folded. And yet here they are, two games back in the division, having overcome all that. So when, hopefully, knock on wood, cross all your fingers and toes, when Verlander gets back, if he does, which is starting to get a little dicey for me, when Luis Garcia gets back, when the team starts to get healthy, when other guys, Alex Bregman's already kind of rounded into form. We could talk about Ryan Presley. I think he's rounding back into form. When some of these guys who had slow starts round into form, having already overcome and got on the other side of that, and now within two games of the division, I think you can see this as a team as, okay, they've already overcome. The season's already thrown barrel at them, essentially, right?
They're not supposed to
be. They got hit with barrel, you know, hurricane barrel in April, and they've actually overcome it. They've cleared the yard of the pine trees. They got the pecan tree out of the neighbor's yard. They cleaned up their driveway. They got gas in the tank. They got ice in the fridge, and they're ready to go.
That's why you look at the trade deadline coming, you're not as pressed to have to go get a numerous guys as a lot of teams because there is still help on the way. There are guys that are still turning the corner to get to be who we expected them to be. We look at the fact that you may get two guys in your bullpen, but specifically one, that Penn Murphy, that a lot of people didn't even factor in, that could be a guy that could help your bullpen if you need an extra arm. When you look at the fact that you could add Garcia to the rotation, I think that the fact you really have to look now as your first priority being a starting pitcher because now you have McCullers, I think, completely out of the equation. If he gives
it
you
seems
anything,
like what was the language they used? Like they did wasn't a setback, but they slowed his progress or something. I can't remember the terminology.
It wasn't shut him down, but that he received some kind of a setback to where they're going to have to reset their plan.
Yeah, it's just
at a certain
come
point,
on, man.
He's another guy like Abreu that you may have to just swallow the fact that he's collecting a big check for doing zero for you.
Yeah, no, I am at the point, despite seeing the videos online of Lance McCullers throwing his bullpen in his full uniform, which is still weird. One of the funniest things I've seen. But I think I've come to the point now where I was hoping, hey, maybe you get Lance back in August like you did in 2022. And he had really 8 great starts down the stretch for that team. And into the playoffs, obviously wasn't good in the World Series start. But he was important for that team down the stretch. I think now with this latest, and I guess they're phrasing it as, well, it's not a setback. He's just slowing his progress down, which, well, that's a setback. That's the very definition of a setback. Thank you, Astros. I'm waiting for them to tell us something is, discomfort to him. But yeah, I think I'm completely writing off, Lance McCullers. And we can get into this, in a larger session here in a little bit, but I do agree with you that what you got to look to add is starting pitching because I'm writing off Lance McCullers. You know, I'd like to see Luis Garcia come back and be a member of the starting rotation, but I mean, he's a guy coming off of Tommy John, so you know, I'm not willing to bet on that. And right now, with Verlander, he can only throw. I have a quote that I want to read from Verlander in a little bit that just made my head explode. But you don't really know what you're getting from Verlander in the stretch.
No.
But
Brian, here's the other thing. Well, here's a name that we didn't mention amongst all the guys we talked about. All the guys like Verlander that we're not getting what we thought we were going to get.
Sure.
Dubon's been a guy again that saved your bacon. Dubon,
oh, yeah.
As much as he's won a gold glove as being a utility guy,
he won two gold gloves last year.
But at the same time, now you're talking about a guy play first base when no one could. You know, and here's another guy, John Singleton, a guy that we were ready to, and I personally was ready to just send on his way, saying he doesn't have a place on this team. I don't know that he has a place in Major League Baseball. We've seen enough to know he can't do what you need him to do. And yet now, again, with regular playing time, he makes a stellar play last night defensively. He's getting multiple hit games. He's doing the things that, you know, that we thought he couldn't do. And he's helped fill the void until you figure out first base.
Yeah, he 0 for 3 last night, but he had a hit, I believe, in his six previous games. So, yeah, he saved
their bacon defensively with the one play at first.
No, he's certainly been an upgrade defensively compared to what they were getting from the Jose Abreu failed experiment. But, yeah, Singleton's been weird because, like, when they first sent Abreu to Florida – you know, Singleton was playing pretty well, and he had a nice stretch there where he hit a couple of big home runs. He was hitting at a higher clip. His slash line, even though the batting average wasn't great, the rest of the slash line was looking good. And then he kind of hit a lull, kind of like Altuve did for, you know, about a 3-4 week period where the slash line dropped. But like I said, before last night's 0 for 3, and he did have a walk, so he did get on base last night. But before last night's 0 for 3, he had a hit in each of his last six games. He's driving in runs. So, I don't want Singleton as the long-term solution. I don't want him there every night. I would still like to see, and I know they're not going to do it, but I would still like to see Loprofito or Yiner Diaz get a shot at first base in the not-so-distant future. But if right now the answer is it's Dubon and Singleton, I think they can get by with that as long as they strengthen other parts of the team.
I'm like, frustrated with that, what you just said, too, because now that Abreu's out of the picture, there is no reason and no way in hell Joey Loprofito shouldn't also get some run at first base. I get it that you were trying to protect this valuable asset you were trying to save previously with Abreu. But now that he's gone and he ain't coming back, thank God, you've got a guy that was making plays at the AAA level at first base.
He played first base in college, yeah.
He played it in college. He's got enough in his back pocket, and he's done it at the AAA level to where there's a guy when you start figuring out lineups and at bats and a lefty and all the things you might need from time to time other than just John Singleton, you need to start opening up your eyes and being a little bit open to the fact he could play first base too.
Yeah, I wonder if it's almost because, like, he's a big, like, we talked to him. He was our guest when we were at Sugarland, I guess, I don't know, it was back in April. Yeah, I think it was back in April. He's a tall kid. He's a great athlete. We saw that amazing, like, double grab catch he had against the wall a few nights ago. I almost wonder if it's it might have started off as, you know, we don't want to embarrass Abreu, and I know that's a little bit of conspiracy theory, but I think it holds some water. It may have started off as that, but I wonder if as he's looked good in the outfield, it was a couple weeks ago, he also had like a really great throw from the outfield gunning out some guy. But I wonder as he makes these athletic plays in the outfield, if it's also them looking at him like, I think he could play first base, but he's such a great athlete that we don't want to take him out of the outfield because you don't really want to put your best athlete at first.
But you just need your best lineup.
Yeah, I know. I'm with
Chaz
you.
Chaz underachieving,
right?
You just there's another reason why, and because they're still force feeding Yordan into the outfield as well, and because you need to, if Yiner's not going to catch, then Yiner's going to have to get. They want his bat in the lineup for the pop. They've got it's better problems to have, but I think that the focus now shifts from you could add another bat. To where I think the priority has to be starting pitching, and because you're limited on the assets you can give up, unless somebody wants a Chaz McCormick or wants a guy that's a veteran on this team or probably wants Loprofito, and I don't think you're in a position to give him up, you got to focus on if you're going to give up any farm system guys at all, it's probably got to be starting pitcher first.
You giving up starting pitching?
No,
or acquiring starting pitching. Okay.
Are going to be four starting pitchers.
Yeah, first. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And just to have the conversation, I'd be willing to give up Loprofito if the right name is involved.
I might too, depending like, on who the name is. It's not a rental.
I think he's a good asset. I think he's a good asset. Don't get me wrong, but I don't see him as this long-term all-star caliber player. I see him like we had the conversation, the comparison to Joey Gallo. I think he's going to be a guy with a low slash line that hits for power.
The problem is he hasn't hit for power in the majors.
Right, and exactly. So he hasn't done the second part of that in the majors while his slash line has dropped. So I think he's a good prospect. I think he's a guy that can start even for a good playoff team, but I don't see him as an untouchable asset. Like I don't imagine Garrett Crochet is available. But the White Sox came calling, say Garrett Crochet is available. Would you be willing to give up Lo Profito? The answer is absolutely yes.
But it's going to be about Lo Profito or other guys.
It would cost more than just Lo Profito. But I would not be afraid to give up Lo Profito as much as I like him if the right deal came along for a starting pitcher.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to continue. We'll get some little Astros conversation back in the mix a little later on. We've got one of the most revered segments of all of
sports
radio history.
It's a sports. It's changed the sports radio landscape. It's won awards. It's groundbreaking. It's Mount Rushmore plus one.
We added the plus one because we dare to be different on the Killer Bees.
We innovate.
And we are innovative and creative when everybody else needs to be less than stellar. I won't figure out the rest of it for now. But we're going to get the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back with our Mount Rushmore plus one and a whole lot more. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore plus one.
See, it used to be the laziest game in radio. When you add the plus one.
That's why it's groundbreaking, Joel Blank. Thank you for recognizing the genius of Sean Mapes and I. It was our brain. We put our brains together, and the brain baby that popped out was Mount Rushmore plus one. And sports radio has never been the same since. Taken over the weekends.
I don't need the vitals.
And now it's taken over drive time.
I don't need the height and the weight, and I don't want to know the name. But it's your baby, Brian.
It's named Mount Rushmore plus one.
And as they say, your baby has legs. I think this will work. So obviously set the peeps up for the first inaugural version of Mount Rushmore plus one, because it's very apropos.
Yeah, thank you. So we do this every week on the bullpen. You can usually catch us Saturdays noon to two, although sometimes Aggie Sports has a say in that. But this is something that we decided to do in the summer and has carried on. It's just a random way to have some fun and talk about top five lists, a Mount Rushmore plus one, if you will, of anything. I mean, we've talked about, obviously, movies, sports, food. Sean had, after I think a vacation where he might have got a little high, he came back with a Mount Rushmore plus one of words that just sounded right. And it was as crazy as this. As that's,
what?
Yeah, like pool. To him, Bluetooth was another one. To him, like, he can't explain why, but that word just sounds right. It just sounds right for the thing that it describes. Pool, Bluetooth, I don't remember the other ones, but the more random, the better. The more out there, the better. It doesn't have to be on topic. It doesn't have to be relevant to what's going on in the current moment in the world of sports or pop culture or anything, but Mount Rushmore plus one, our groundbreaking sports radio segment. So I'll go ahead and lead off here. This is Joel's first trip into Mount Rushmore plus one. And if we bring this back in future weeks, Austin, you feel free to jump in and come up with your own list as well. We'll probably do this in a couple weeks when Jeremy takes off the whole week as well. But my Mount Rushmore plus one for today is other reasons besides Hurricane Beryl why Houston could turn into a Mad Max hellscape. Other things that could just set the city on fire, things that would have people running in the streets, cars crashing into each other, dogs hugging cats, just chaos in the streets because, like Hurricane Beryl, something went terribly wrong that turned the citizens of Houston into a panic. So number one on my list, HEB closed. You can now only go to Kroger. I think that turns Houston. Hypothetical.
No, I get it, but why? See, I had to, this that, randomly
that,
enough.
That turns Houston into a Mad Max hellscape. You tell me I can't go to HB, I have to go to Kroger?
I'm telling you what. Until they shut down all the Randalls.
Unless Kroger wants to sponsor. Shout out to Kroger.
Until they shut down all the Randalls, I was going Randalls and Kroger, and I didn't like HEB. But then, because of the fact that Randall's was out and Kroger was a little out of the way, I started going to H-E-B.
And?
But H-E-B to me...
Come on.
Is a Costco grocery store or a Walmart grocery store.
Oh.
It just doesn't have the same... feel
it's store brands.
The warmth of other stores when you walk in. Like when I walked into the Randall's, whether it be in Midtown or
you wanting a greeter?
No, but like if I asked, do you have this? And the manager would say, oh, we don't, but we can order it for you. HEB, they're like, yeah, that's what you get. I mean,
maybe you just ran into some rude employees. Yeah, maybe. I don't know how they do it in Sugarland King, where they're very nice. But yeah, I the thing I love about HEB, other than a lot of times their prices are better, but their store brand stuff is just way better than the store brand stuff from other stores.
I'll give you that, because especially their ice cream.
I end up usually preferring like the store brand stuff over like the normal name brand stuff that I would have bought from a Target or a Kroger. I end up preferring the, like,
when I was going through my fridge and realizing all the stuff I had to throw out because of the power outage.
Sure, sure.
You're right in that there are a lot of products in our refrigerator that were the HEB brand, and the only reason why we could keep buying them is because they taste good.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, HEB closing, forcing us to go to other grocery stores, I think, since Houston to a Mad Max hellscape. Second one on my Mount Rushmore plus one of reasons Houston could turn into a Mad Max hellscape, Whataburger's out of beef. I think people, riots in the streets. You show up to Whataburger, especially like, imagine right now. We've been dealing with the hurricane, the heat, the no power for 2 days. You're exhausted. Oh my God, my Whataburger's open. Let me go get in line. That line's probably long because it's Whataburger and it's the only thing open. And you get up to the window and like, hey, we're out of beef. You can only order chicken sandwiches.
Like, yeah. This is the flip side.
Riots in the streets.
Of when... they busted out the chicken sandwich at was it Popeyes
that had very good.
That
chicken
had the
sandwich.
Guy drawing the gun at the people in the drive through line, yeah, everything like that.
Yeah. It's a very good chicken sandwich.
To say, hey, somebody that's really good at making other chicken in just a lot of different ways suddenly debuts this sandwich that everybody's got to have. I get that, but there's no doubt anybody and everybody, Texas or otherwise, but especially here in Texas, has got to have their Whataburger. If you start saying that they're out of beef at Whataburger, yeah, center point, you think you got problems with people without power? Look the hell out when people go to Whataburger and there's no burger.
Now, I will say the honey barbecue chicken strip sandwich, very good. But for the other stuff with the chicken, like, yeah, them being out of beef would be a huge problem.
Right, that's a big one.
All right, so I got three left here on my Mount Rushmore plus one of other reasons Houston could turn into a Mad Max hellscape. This one I kind of want to combine into two here because they're both Texas icons. But nope, like when you go on a road trip, can't stop at Bucky's anymore. They closed down. Now you just got to stop at some regular Flying J, you know, gas station. And two, Bluebell closes its doors. And I know some people aren't about Bluebell, especially post the I can't remember. What was the name?
Listeria.
Listeria. That was the name of I was trying to think of the name of the problem they had. But I do think people go into the stores. There's no Bluebell. You take the drive down I-10 towards San Antonio, like my wife and daughter did today. You get to Luling, and there's no Bucky's. You got to go to, I don't even know what the other gas station would be across the street. I think people of Houston and Texas would riot.
Here's the thing. I think you're right on one. I think they would be just fine with the other. The Bucky's, there aren't that many, or there aren't enough of them for them to be the only go-to staple when you got to stop.
Well, I don't know. I think every
big Bluebell
place you want to go
is like Whataburger. I think if you're in Texas and you know how good Bluebell is, that becomes your go-to ice cream. And when you can't get it, and you're like us who are connoisseurs and love ice cream,
right?
Like when you can't get what you want when you want it, sometimes there is no second choice.
No,
right? It's tough. It sets a precedent that you can't find a substitute for. I think people could find another truck stop or convenience store to stop at for Bucky's, but I don't think people are going to take too kindly to the Bluebell.
I say I'm going to push back a little bit of that because, I mean, I get that there's not like, it's not like Walmart. There's not one, in every city in America or in Texas. But like all the major places you go, like when we went to Lake Charles a couple of weeks ago on I-10, there's one in Baytown. You're going to Galveston, there's the one in Texas City. You're going up 45 in Dallas, there's Madisonville. You're going out I-10 to San Antonio.
There's Luling. There's
so,
no doubt.
Yeah, any if you're going out of Houston to like any like Galveston, San Antonio, out to Louisiana, like or Dallas or whatever, God forbid you go to Dallas, but there's a Buc-ee's on the way there. So I think that would be a big problem.
Because sometimes you got to stop more than once.
There's no problem there. There's no problem with multiple stops at Buc-ee's.
Right, but you got to get multiple Buc-ee's along the way, and they're not always spread out where you need them to
be. I'm not detecting a problem here. If you get to stop at Buc-ee's multiple times, I get multiple chances.
No, I'm saying
you would
like to stop at multiple ones, but sometimes there's only one on your route.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean. Yeah, it's worth going out of the way because it's not just a gas station, or it's not just anything. It's everything at once. It might be the greatest grocery store / gas station ever invented.
I'm not going to argue that.
It's got everything.
I don't think there's enough of them.
If Buc-ee's doesn't have it, you don't need it.
You see, but I don't think there's enough of them.
Okay, I'll move on to the rest of my list here for the sake of time. So I've given out, three here on my Mount Rushmore plus one of reasons Houston could turn into a Mad Max hellscape. Next one, hypothetically, a new law forces everyone to come to an agreement on the Astrodome's fate. Mad Max hellscape. There's no way we could get everyone in Houston to come to an agreement about, oh, do we turn it into a parking lot? Oh, do we turn it into a casino and pass new casino laws? Oh, do we bulldoze it? Oh, do we turn it into, I think at one point people want to turn it into some giant hotel. Yeah, it's like,
they're the glass-walled high school and college playing field where you could watch from the outside.
Yeah, exactly. What's the saying? Like, opinions are like, everyone has one,
right.
And certainly everyone has one on the Astrodome. I think trying to get the city of Houston to agree on this is the plan that we all agree on the Astrodome would cause mass chaos in the streets.
I think it would cause a mass party. I think people would be happy.
Well, I would be happy that they actually did come.
The city's still paying on it, aren't they?
Oh, I'm sure we are.
I think they are.
I don't know if it was Ed Emmett who Paul Gallant had on his radio show at night after he bashed.
Oh, he got mad, didn't he?
Started bashing Ed Emmett and like the Astrodome stuff, and Ed Emmett actually called in.
Yeah, I remember that.
He called in as a listener, and they had a debate on the show. And I think I don't know if it was Ed Emmett that gets credit for this or not. Apologies to whoever does get credit for this, but some of them has made it like an historical landmark now, so I don't even know if they can touch it. But
you look at two of the worst deals for stadiums ever made in the history of stadiums made: the Compaq Center, which they were still paying on until they sold it to Joel Osteen. And the Astrodome.
Yeah, it's two bad ones. Luckily, we have the current stadiums we have in use, all very good.
Unless you want to keep the roof on NRG after the storm.
No, yeah, I was at one of those games where they kept
it just flew off. Durant Barrel.
Did it really?
They lost panels.
I missed, I haven't had internet.
They lost some panels.
I haven't had internet.
They lost some panels at NRG.
So this is like 2008 all over again. Damn it. It's the same thing from 16 years ago. All right, my last one, my Mount Rushmore plus one of reasons why Houston could turn into a Mad Max hellscape: forcing everyone to use public transportation. If I know one thing about my fellow Houstonians, and I'm going to peer behind the glass to see if Austin agrees with me, but Houstonians, born and raised here, all 40 years of my life here, we hate public transportation. Nothing we love more than getting in our oversized cars and driving somewhere ourselves, by ourselves, listening to our podcast, listening to music, listening to ESPN Radio 97.5, right. And we are not taking public transportation.
Well, the thing, and I'd start by saying, most times when you do have public transportation, you'd have a train that goes in more than just one direction either way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't need to go from stadium to stadium.
It goes from stadium to stadium. One suburb.
That's why they call it the loop in Chicago, because it loops around the entire city,
right.
And you can get there and get where you need to go. But now you got one that goes from U of H somewhere, and you got one that goes from downtown to the football stadium and back. That's a problem.
Yeah, no, public transportation, in theory, it could be good, but we as Houstonians hate public transportation.
No,
yeah, we hate it. We absolutely hate it.
That in a lot of ways.
All right, so you're we got a dog on the loose here in the studio.
Well, I'm just about to say hi.
I'll pet your dog here as you give me your Mount Rushmore plus one debut here.
I didn't know how we were going to do this.
Oh, my bad.
But I was going to do, you know, the Mount Rushmore plus ones of all the different things that happened the wrong way with
hurricanes. Oh, sure, that's
hurricanes.
Good. Yeah,
so we can get
very
into
topical.
That. But if we get to it, but we're running.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We're all overrunning a little bit here.
That's our first inaugural version of Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't worry, I'm sure there'll be more. And if you need to catch it on a regular basis, you can always catch it on the bullpen on the weekend with Brian and Sean and company. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up hour number two as we continue to roll on with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we're back for the final segment of the second hour of the show as we continue to take you all the way till 6 o'clock tonight. It's BMAC in for Jeremy and myself with Austin Rodriguez behind the glass, talking about a post-hurricane version of our show since we've been out a while. We started the show by ranting about the ineptitude of Centerpoint, the fact that we can't do wrong right when it comes time to figure out anything to do with a natural disaster, and the fact that the same things keep on happening. And when you and I were texting back and forth about this without internet this morning, my whole thing was centered around like a top five list of the things that make you the most angry and pissed off about every time we go through something like this, we deal with the same things. Like the same highways. Like 288 at 59 is inevitably going to be underwater no matter what. There's going to be spots on every highway no matter what. The same spots that are going to be underwater. Center Point's going to screw up and it's going to take them days to get your power back on. You're going to lose power. You're not going to get it back right away. And it is going to be an adventure trying to figure out the plan to get you where you need to go and what you need. There's no doubt that those two are inevitable. When you take it a step further, the fact that we have from political people above and out of our jurisdiction, or in Ted Cruz cases, I don't know, we don't even want him at Astros games, but the fact that
we don't want Aggies games, Longhorns games, anything.
He leaves town when the weather comes into town.
Yep.
The governor leaves town when we need him the most, when things are coming into town.
There's a trend here.
The mayor is getting in verbal spats and calling the county judges new significant other and fiance a nerd, and they can't figure out who should have the microphone when all we need to figure out is, how do we get back to where we were before the storm? Like, you talk about the quiet before the storm, it's the bleep storm after it hits every single time that drives me nuts.
Yeah, no, I think that, I mean, I know you said you have five, but I think that could be the entire five.
So there's at least three here. Let me keep going, because here's the other thing.
All right.
The fact that...
Get it all off your chest,
Joel. Your favorite grocery store, because we just got done talking
H-E-B,
about
it. H-E-B, damn right.
Okay, tell me why H-E-B doesn't have a generator. Tell me why Whataburger doesn't have a generator. Tell me why in Texas, in specifics, because of the fact that we are in hurricane zone...
Well, my H-E-B was open.
Right, but nonetheless, they were delayed opening, and they were trying to figure out... The thing to me is whether it's H-E-B, whether it's Whataburger, whether it's whatever you know, CVS, why don't the bigger, more known and relied upon places have generators in place so that when these things happen, you just flip a switch, you're going to make money hand over fist that'll pay for the generator. But like driving around a ghost town for 2 and 3 days because you can't find anything open after all these things happen, it's unbelievable.
It is. I mean, I guess to have the back of H-E-B and other places not open, I think the main thing is they have to be able to get employees there. I mean, even if they have the generator running to get there, I mean, the employees that run they have to be in place to be able to make that store work are dealing with the same issues we are. So that's part of the problem. And the other part is, I'll just relate it to my dad. My dad, who is a whiz with anything mechanical, could fix anything in the world, pulled his generator out yesterday to use it, and because he hasn't used it in like 5 years since the last time we had something like this happen, he pulled it out, tried to get it to run, and the thing wasn't working anymore. And I think that's what happens with a lot of things like this. We get lulled into a false sense of security, for lack of a better term.
Brian, when you pull it out and it doesn't work, you have ways to make it work anyway.
Yeah, I believe some people have done live reads here for things like that. Yes. But yeah, exactly. He didn't have the magical blue pill for his generator, and when he pulled it out and tried to get the things working, he started tugging on the string there to like the pull start, like you would have for a lawnmower. It wouldn't rise up.
Okay, and here's the other thing. The other thing that also kills me is the fact that from local news perspective, What we need to know are the details, right? We don't need to see people making the Blair Witch Project again, going, well, let's see what happens if we drive down this street that looks like there's a lot of rain and signs are blowing over. Or, hey, let's all watch as I got this video on my phone of this sign falling over. No, what we need to know is it going to hit us?
Yeah.
When is it going to hit us? What is everybody doing to prepare if and when it does hit us? And how do we get by after it hits us? Instead, we got this Blair Witch Project of people with cell phones and trying to figure out live on TV how to speak and figure out, like, hey, there's a garbage can that just blew by. If you bear with me, I'm going to show you this tree that's leaning. I don't care. I care about how high are the waves? What's the storm surge? Where is this thing going to hit? And what's the damage going to be?
Yeah, I was unsure how far I could go into that, you know, with your relation to someone in that business. But I certainly 100% agree with you. I would even expand beyond storm coverage with some of the live stand-ups. I hate with a passion the live stand-ups local news does, like at a sports bar after like the Astros or whoever's won a game. They want to go talk to some dude who's half drunk and
serves
like,
them right when they get the F-bomb dropped.
What do you think about tonight's game? Oh, we're so excited the Astros won. It's just such
or they
meaningless.
Beat the Rangers. That's the one. I think it was Fox 26. But they're like, hey, how are you feeling? F Dallas.
Yeah.
Only he let it fly. And it's like, you kind of had that coming to you.
But even when you don't get that, it's just drivel. It's just like, oh yeah, we're excited. And it's same thing, like half of these stand-ups, and some of them have been good, like I'm trying to remember the lady's name who became a star with her when she was the only person on TV for Channel 11 during Harvey, where the station went down and she remained on TV.
Was it Sherman Chow?
No, I'll find the name later.
Whaley?
No, I'll find it. Yeah, I don't want to get distracted. I'll find it. I'll find it later because I follow on Twitter. I think I could find it. But she did a really good job, and I think she even won some Texas Emmys for it. So there are some live stand-up shots that are well done. But for the most part, like you said, they just put some guy in a raincoat in front of a street that has not even half – it's not even half flooded. They're like, oh, look at these waters, and it's – what, an inch up? It's like an inch up the curb. And like, oh, we're live up here where the waters are already rising and we can see behind
reporters
you.
Reporters
like,
in Dan Galveston going, let's wait a minute. Just be patient. This what you're about to witness is the generator's going to quit. The power's going to go out, but then the generator's going to come back. I don't give a rat's ass. All I want to know is that apartment complex going to be okay? And where's that thing going after it hits that apartment complex
I
need to be worried about?
Yeah, no, I find very little use for the live shots that they – and that's what 90% of the news coverage comes or becomes during storms like this, is just going out to random people in a raincoat standing beside something that looks – because they don't usually put them in something that looks super dangerous, because obviously you don't want to put them in something super dangerous. So they're just standing out in front of something that looks mildly inconvenient, and they're standing out there and trying to sell the danger of the situation while you're looking at them being in front of something that all of us could overcome. So
and,
it's just
and
like,
then
like,
the other thing to finish it all off is, you just said it, to sell the danger.
Yeah.
Instead of like, where Houston is great, where Houstonians come to the aid of others. I had neighbors, when they got their power back, giving their generators to other neighbors and asking, can I bring you food? Can I bring you water? What do you need if you're dealing with the heat? All those things. But then you look at the airline, and you look at – and Lisa just dealt with it firsthand. It's not their fault, but yet all the tickets available to go from Dallas to Houston were $600 because they knew everybody was trying to get back.
Yeah.
Same thing when you're starting talking about rent a car.
Price gouging.
And you're talking about the gas prices. Now when the gas line goes up, so do the prices. They're trying to get you at $4 a gallon because of the fact that even though it's supposed to be regulated, but we know everybody's in need. So if we're open and we got it, then you got to pay for it. Where's the same Houstonians mentality of helping other Houstonians when it comes to the businesses who are gouging the hell out of you?
I will say, I think, because you're right, I have noticed that in the past. Specifically, I don't know what you guys did when we thought Rita was going to hit in 2006. Remember, it was the Category 5 that everyone, and it ended up being, like, I believe, one of the largest, if not the largest, mass evacuation of a major U.S. city. People fleeing because everyone thought a Category 5 was about to hit us, and then it turned last minute, and Houston didn't really receive any of the brunt of it. But I know, because we took a drive in the evacuation from Rita to Waco, and that took us like 25 hours to get to Waco. And along the way, the lines for gas or the prices for gas everywhere tripled, quadrupled, and if not even more. It was ridiculous. But that, I will say, at least in where I am in Kingwood, that has gotten better. Where the places that have been open that have gas, even though they frustrated me by not telling us ahead of time that it was cash only, they kept the same prices across the board. So I will give them credit for that. That does seem to have improved a little bit, but certainly there have been really bad examples of that in the past where price gouging has just been unreal.
Insurance companies, like when you know you need you don't miss payments, you pay on time, you do everything on time that you're supposed to do, and then when you need them to be on time, when you suffer some kind of damage or catastrophe driven problem, they want to nickel and dime you. They want to drag their feet. They want to say it's the other insurance company, not ours. And all you need to know is you're going to get your money back and get your life back to where it was. And yet you're sitting there holding the bag after you've given them the bag every single month. And it just drives me crazy.
Yeah. That's something else that can make up an entire top five list, I think. A Mount Rushmore plus one, if you will. Luckily, I can't remember. Do you have fences down?
Not in my yard, but all throughout my neighborhood.
Okay, so like the biggest part, I think I mentioned at the top of the show, we have part of a tree down, like a big branch fell down from a tree, but it didn't hit anything that was significant. It just landed on the ground, and then like 3/4 of our fence is down. But like, so I'm gonna have to deal with insurance on the fence. But luckily for me, as you mentioned, with the frustration of trying to get them to pay for what you've been paying for, I can afford to wait on a fence. But obviously, like I talked about at the start of the show, I have a neighbor, you know, three streets behind me that had a massive tree come down in the middle of his two-story house. That guy can't wait. That guy needs an answer today.
Right.
So it certainly is frustrating.
No doubt about it. All right, we're past the time for a break, so we're going to get to one real quick to get you the final, less than 60 minutes, but the final hour, give or take, of the show as we continue to roll till 6 o'clock. Brian's in for Jeremy, and Boston Rodriguez and myself are here, so appreciate you guys being with us as well as you deal with the aftermath of Barrel, and we continue to barrel on. We'll be back with more of the Killer Bees right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.